My face will get shadier and shadier.
That's okay. It's aspirational, and sometimes the shade changes. Honestly, it looks like you're in a very like interesting indie movie because the cutout around your hair is just kind of like fading around like a Wes Anderson style stop motion thing.
Yes.
That's delightful.
I've been waking up with like a very eraser head hairdo lately. So I feel like, yeah, Wes Anderson, that works.
Oh my gosh.
Or like David Lynch. I feel like I have David Lynch hair a lot.
That's a good way to be, though. I feel like he's living his best life all the time. And
oh, yeah.
Like, this is my hair.
I have many aspirations.
Did you, this is unrelated. Did you see his weather, his like reporting the weather?
No.
Yeah, it was just like for 2 months out of the pandemic, he would just record like a minute 30 long YouTube video that was just like David Lynch doing his David Lynch thing. And he's just like, this is David Lynch and it's 90 degrees out, a little humid. And I just bought my first theremin. And it's just he's just being really cute and just kind of like fucking
about. I
want to
look that up. That sounds very entertaining.
It's very wholesome, which is what I think is great. Awesome. Oh, awesome. Are you in a headspace for this? Are you ready?
I'm ready. I got my water.
Great.
I'm ready.
Awesome. It's very, very low pressure. Because I'm just hanging out, really. Great. So I just really want to say I'm really excited to talk to people, and I just wanted to talk to you for like context and where you're coming from with this. And don't like bogging other people down with individual questions if I can help it. So really quickly, would you be down to describe the project in your own words?
Yes. So the What Time Is It portrait project I literally have the mission memorized because we've been recording this podcast. So I'm like, try not to tell you that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, it's a civic and cultural archive rooted in...
Okay, well, so
deep listening, okay. Relationship building, and radical imagination. I'll say it in my own words, though. Basically, when the pandemic started, I felt lonely and I missed people. And actually, I was doing a yoga session with our mutual friend, Peregrine. And I was in a meditation and this idea came up to me of how can I reach out and connect to people that I miss and people that I maybe normally wouldn't get to talk to because they're busy and we don't necessarily bump into each other all the time, but this is kind of like a forced pause for all of us. Mm-hmm. And the Grace Lee Boggs quote is one that I've over time has just randomly popped up in my head and now felt like a good moment to dive deep into it. And I was just very curious as to like, how are people perceiving this moment? And of course that changes all the time. So yeah, the project is really, my intention behind it is to connect and listen and try to archive what's happening in a way that's maybe a little bit different from like social media or the news cycle, that invites listening and relationship building.
There is kind of a whereas social media and news have necessarily a very reactionary quality to it. This is almost like the complete inverse. It's almost like it's kind of like a cone, and it's got like an openness to it that invites you to like really do anything. You can refute the question itself. You can play around with it. And I really enjoyed reading the interviews and finding just like the vast array of like just being like, it means just chilling out, like hanging out or doing whatever you need to do to rest, or like. David Stovall's answer really stuck out to me because that was just, to destroy me is to invite your own catastrophe or something along those lines. Were there any that like that were there any responses from others who that like really hold a firm grip on your hand?
Yes. Also, I just want to clarify, they're not interviews, they're conversations.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. A lot of people say that, and I have to correct myself too, just because I'm not a journalist and I don't go in with questions. It's a very open, so literally, like I used to do this in high school. So it's not like I paint people and they talk. I don't ask them anything at all, except for that one question, what time is it on the clock of the world? And I usually say that till the very end. So a lot of it is very meandering and people just talk about anything. And sometimes they'll be like, wow, that felt like therapy. Thank you. Okay. Anyways, but to answer your question, if any of them stuck out, I think the very first portrait I painted after myself was Zakiya. And we had a conversation about who gets to, like, who is an authority on time, essentially.
And she said who's we or something like that.
Yeah, like on whose clock.
Yeah.
And that's something that has stayed with me a lot because, you know, we all operate in this world of like deadlines and schedules and calendars and like who gets to set the clock and how do we understand time? And I think a lot of people spoke about time folding onto itself or different moments in time feeling like they're coming together. So that concept of like who's controlling our understanding of time and how do we take ownership of it is something that really resonated for me.
Do you think that asking this question consistently and seeing people respond in all these different ways is, do you think that you're reconsidering your own relationship to time? Like to get really meandering, because that's great.
I mean, it's very philosophical. Grace Lee Boggs is a philosopher. You know, I also studied philosophy in undergrad. So I love to meander. Honestly, it's a challenge. Like the reason I stick with that quote from Zakiya is I am so like hardwired into urgency mindset and like timelines and deadlines and schedules and calendars that I've had to remind myself like on whose clock. You know, and it's what I guess something that has changed is in the beginning, I started painting when I was work for me had like I was still employed, but my programs had shut down. So there was like a panic, but there was also space. And now I'm working a lot. And obviously, I don't have as much time to paint. And this idea, like before I would be like, okay, I'm going to do two a week for a year. And now I'm like, I'm lucky if I can get one painting done a month. So that sense of time and like, I don't know, productivity and trying to remind myself, like, why am I really doing this? And who is it for? And like, at what pace is it necessary to produce? I don't know. Those are the questions that I sit with.
Do you, who at this point do you think you would want it to be for? Like, who's your ideal audience? Is it you? Is it the people who you're painting, or is it somebody else?
I think that I really see the value of this project in the future as a time capsule, as something that people can look back on. I just read a book of oral histories from Chernobyl. And like I grew up right next to that area. So obviously I knew what happened. I knew the basics of it, but reading these oral histories brought it alive for me in such a profound way. And the whole narrative is about basically the ways in which our governments lie to us. And it was obviously an interesting time to be reading that. And it really made me think about the value of this kind of like archival work. Because of course we have all the like tweets and articles and you know, social media posts in the moment, it's overwhelming. But looking back, yeah, I do think there's value to kind of this like slow meandering storytelling and just seeing like what were people actually thinking and feeling at a time when there was so much upheaval and uncertainty.
There is like a degree of weight that's possible with like this kind of archival work as opposed to tweets or something that actually to be refindable is really impressive, because I think that most social media is actually notoriously difficult to go back and find and actually make compose a meaningful narrative of. Whereas this is actually a little bit, each is a self-contained narrative, and like because you've dated them all and given precise context, you can actually do that. You can actually follow up with what this means and what changed from that moment forward, which is exciting. I've been thinking about that. I just got on Twitter. I got off Instagram and I got on Twitter, which was like out of the frying pan into the fire. But it's really interesting, because I will see just bits of a conversation and they'll try to follow back to see what the conversation was. And there's not one. It's just not there. So yeah, I don't know. I think that's really interesting. I could talk about like gravity or whatever and space time, but I'm not going to, because I want to just like ask you a few more questions. Just like this is like a little bit more just like, how do you feel like you mentioned in your first entry that this was a decision to sort of like re-explore portraiture after a time away. And I'm wondering how your relationship to painting has changed during this time.
Yeah.
During this process specifically.
Well, yeah. So I grew up learning how to paint. I had this Siberian art teacher named Noam Katsunyelsen, and I would spend every Saturday in his basement with other students, not like tied up or anything.
Okay.
But he had like, it was like a very like old school, like there would be like a bust of like Play-Doh or like a roll of toilet paper, and we would have to paint it. Anyways, all that is to say, like, I had a very specific kind of art education as a young person. And when I was in high school, I did paint portraits a lot. Like I said, I would sit down with folks and yeah, it was an opportunity for me to just, I think because I'm an anxious person, painting someone would give my hand something to do, and then we could have this conversation where otherwise maybe I would feel less confident. And then I became, you know, politicized and started to really question visual arts and my role as a cis white person painting things and people. And it just felt like I couldn't really, I don't know, I started getting away from my own art making, and I moved more into like curatorial practices and education and facilitation and admin. And yeah, I really haven't painted consistently in about 20 years, you know, like in a serious way. So getting back into it now, and you know, I still have questions. I think, I still have a lot of questions about portraiture and the white gaze. You know, I think that there's parts of this process that are still complicated for me and are unresolved. When I paint people, I like to ask them to participate in the process. So I ask like how they would want to be depicted. I really try to have it be collaborative and consentful as possible. But obviously, you know, it is my interpretation that guides what the final product is. So yeah, it's,
um,
It's still complicated, you know. I don't have like a final resolution. I guess what something I will say is I'm really interested in this project evolving beyond something that is filtered through me. I'm really interested in working with young people and have lots of different people be creating portraits and be conducting conversations. So it's not like I am some kind of like omnipotent viewer or vessel. I think just by ways of the pandemic and being at home and having like the skill set, I wanted to practice it. But now that we're starting to open up a little bit, I'm really interested in involving more folks.
Oh, that's exciting. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I have just one more question. What do you have an answer to this question? What time is it on the clock of the world?
It's such a hard question. I really can't speak for the world, you know? I'm just one person. I find it very humbling. I'm like, I really can't tell you. Like, thinking globally, I'm just so aware of my own biases and, you know, the access to information that I have. I mean, even trying to stay connected to Belarus, where I'm from. And there was a while this summer when a lot of the uprising started that I was really trying to pay attention and like keep in touch with folks. And yeah, no, I can't say what time it is on the clock of the world because I'm not everywhere, you know? I mean, I think the intention behind the question is to look at the history of time and to think about our strategy as far as like organizing and revolution building and how we evolve as, you know, a species. It's definitely a time to listen to nature. Mm-hmm. That I can say certainly, and it's a time to change a lot of our behaviors and a lot of our systems.
Yeah,
there's so much that needs to be changed, but I think we have to slow down and consume less and stop killing each other and stop exploiting the planet. So yeah, that's some of the what the time calls for.
Great. Great. Awesome. That's all I got for questions for you. thanks for answering them. Okay. So three people who you would like to talk or who you think would like be interested in talking. Is there anybody who you have off the top of your head who you would like to get in for like a recall or just like a little bit of clarification?
I don't know. You look through the portraits. I mean, there's many more that I have not finished.
Mm-hmm.
But is there anybody who you're like, ooh, I want to talk more to this person?
So again, Dave Stovall was just like such an interesting interview. He had just had lots of stuff I thought was so fascinating. Zakia, partially just because like I am also lonely and I miss people who I used to just see randomly. Potentially Benji Hart. Those were the top three who I wrote down. But honestly, I think that anybody who is interested would be an interesting person to get in the room for this.
Okay. I can reach out to the three of them and see what they say.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's again, very low pressure. Just kind of want to talk to people, see what's going on.
Would you prefer like I can just reach out to them and be like, are you interested? And then me introduce you to them? Or did you want to do like a group situation convo?
Why don't you reach out to them and see if they're interested? Because I feel like I don't have that rapport to just suddenly be like popping into their email.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'll definitely reach out to them. I guess my question is, would you want to have like a group conversation where everybody's together, or do you want to do like 3 one-on-ones?
Let's do a group conversation. Let's do a group conversation.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you so much again.
And if the, do you have a timeline?
I think that the only thing that I don't have like an explicit timeline at the moment. It's based entirely on like what the availability is. My goal was to conduct the interview before the 20th of March. But also anytime after that is, I think the only thing that I wanted to do is get the whole, like have something before April. So it's like anytime in the next month that people are available.
Cool. I'll reach out with that in mind and see who is available.
Yeah, you know, these people are also way busier than me, so I...
They are. But it's cool. It's worth a shot. I mean, they had time to sit down for a portrait, so maybe they'll have time for a follow-up.
I hope so. That'd be nice. Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you for being interested in this project.
No, it was nice talking to you. I'm very excited. It's so interesting to me because like I also don't really know how to do interviews. I just like having conversations with people, and then there's always a time crunch, so questions come up.
Time.
Here we are. I like your sweater.
Thanks.
And that's it. Okay.
It's like an ice cream sundae or something.
Yeah, it looks like an old Dippin' Dots.
Yeah, there it is.
Those are weird.
Yeah. I wonder if they still exist.
I think they bankrupted. I went to like a water park, I think 4 or 5 years ago, and it was just gone. I was like, what's the point now?
Oh man, we had them in my high school cafeteria, believe it or not.
Wow.
And the fancy, there was two cafeterias. The fancy one had Dippin' Dots. The not fancy one had the free and reduced lunch. It was a very segregated school.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Good to chat with you. Have a good rest of your day. And I'll be in touch about the other folks.
Thanks so much, Irina.
Okay. Bye. Talk to you later. Bye.